Hi, my name is Tim Plunkett, and you might know me from the full calendar module, or just from being on IRC too much. Today is my fourth Drupal birthday, and you're listening to episode 8 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host, his degree is in music education, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Tim Plunkett. Tim has been working with Drupal since the day Drupal 6 was released, but cut his teeth building a Drupal 5 site for Drexel University's CS department as an intern. Despite a background primarily in HTML and CSS, Tim's primary focus is currently module development. Tim maintains the full calendar module and co-maintains several modules, including date, features, and field collection. Tim, I'm really excited to have you on the show.
Me too. I've been looking forward to this ever since I heard about the podcast.
Great. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Tim, why don't you go ahead and tell us where you're from and what you do?
I'm from Philadelphia. I grew up in the suburbs of Philly and moved to the city 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, I love Philadelphia. So it's really part of who I am. And I work for a Philadelphia Drupal shop called ZivTech. And I mostly work building sites, developing new modules, a bunch of theme development, and spend a lot of my spare time working on core and contrib.
Excellent. So I already said that you started working in Drupal at Drexel University. How exactly did that come about?
Right. So at Drexel University, while I was there as a computer science major, they have this program. It's called a co-op. It's like an internship where you go work for 6 months somewhere. And I happened to work for the department themselves. They were going to teach me how to become a systems administrator. And then I got there on my first day and they had two people for the same job. Hmm. So they said, well, never mind, you can't do that. You're going to learn to how to do this thing called Drupal because we want to port our Mambo site to Drupal 5. Hmm. So I said, okay, I don't know anything about that. So they gave me 2 or 3 weeks to learn Vim, PHP, MySQL, and Drupal, you know, site building.
Excellent.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So when I finished my 6 months, I took over a couple small sites, and my first one was a radio station site for the Drexel University radio station WKDU, using what I found to be the station module, porting that from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6. And then after that, that was the end of my time at Drexel, but between the internship and working at the radio station, it got me through 2 major versions of Drupal, and I learned a lot.
Cool. So what's the most recent project you've been working on?
At ZivTech, we have a number of different sites in the works at all times. I don't know. None of the ones I've been working on have launched yet, so I'm not allowed to tell you. But we have one Drupal 6 site left that has been, we started with the Drupal Commons, or Acquia Commons, or whatever they renamed it now, is a Drupal 6 only distribution that we were using. And every other site we've worked on since probably February has been Drupal 7. Hmm. So almost a year of that. And it's been a lot of fun, working on that all day, every day. It makes the Drupal 6 project really painful, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a church site for my dad, and I started it in like November or December. And then, you know, 7 came out in January, but they couldn't wait. And so I went ahead, you know, did theirs in 6. And then I started a new one pretty much in January or February on 7. And now I'm like, oh, please don't make me work on your site anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to work in 6.
Yeah, it's pretty rough going back.
It is.
But I've been at ZivTech for over a year now. It's been a lot of fun. We've done a lot of great stuff, and the emphasis they put on us doing 777 and us going to camps and cons and doing sessions has been really good. And I've learned a lot. We also get 20% time. I know a lot of companies do something like that, or something called differently, but a good chunk of the week I spend, you know, contributing back. For full calendar module, which we'll talk about, I mean, we use that on a bunch of sites. So when I'm working on it for the client, you know, it's also contributing in a way.
Yeah.
I do spend some time, like the views module is finally stable. It's great news.
Yes, it is.
I spent a lot of time with Full Calendar running into views bugs and fixing them up. So I really got the last three major bugs blocking the views release were ones I had unfortunately found. it was really fun to get that finish that one up.
All right, well, let's move on to the Full Calendar module then. For those who haven't heard of it, why don't you tell us how it's different from the calendar module and what makes it better?
Well, the Full Calendar module is just, it's an integration between the Full Calendar plugin and views. Full Calendar plugin is a standalone third-party jQuery plugin written by Adam Shaw that is, the intention was to replicate Google Calendar as close as possible. So it looks like Google Calendar. It acts a lot like Google Calendar. And I came across it, calendar module, it was 2 years ago now, it was a year ago. October 2010, I was looking around for trying to do the best way to display dates over multiple days. So if you have an event that starts on a Monday and ends on a Wednesday, if calendar module would just list it three times, and I wanted it to look like it was 3 days long. So I looked around and found this module, Full Calendar, and it just started. And the maintainer had a lot of problem with CVS, the old version control system that Drupal used to use. And I was pretty comfortable with it from the station module and just having done it. So I offered to help him commit to it, and he gave me commit access and then left forever. And I have not heard from him since the day he gave me commit access. So... and then we switched to Git, and it's a whole bunch easier now. But I've been working on the module then for over a year now, and it looks like Google Calendar. It's, you can drag events from day to day, and it'll update the node, which is like the best feature I can possibly think of. And it can display Google Calendar feeds, and it has the week view and the day view and the month view. And it's all Ajax-based, and it's really fast. And the main thing that makes it better than calendar module is, if you've ever set up a calendar module view, it is very, very difficult. Like, really difficult. Like, several steps, and you're not sure if you did it right, and you've done it 10 times, you still don't know if you did it right. And the whole point, the best part about Full Calendar is it's really easy. It's like three clicks, especially now with the new views in Drupal 7, when you're creating a new view, it has this kind of wizard that steps you through it. And with that, it's like, it's the wizard and then one setting and then you're done. And so the speed at which you can get Full Calendar views set up and running is just my favorite part.
Yeah. I was using it, last summer actually. So that'd be summer of 2011. And, basically everything you just said is what I experienced. I thought, man, this is so easy to use. It makes sense when I go into views to change something. It just works how I expect it to, instead of having to wonder if I need to change something somewhere else to make it work. But yeah, it was great. And then, like you said, it just looks like Google Calendar. So it looks really clean. I just fell in love with it. It was great.
Yeah, and we've added since then. Well, there's another. I do most of the maintaining and code development myself, but Aspilicious is his Drupal username. Bram, he needed it for one of his pet websites, and it was in the early stages when it was kind of rough. So he helped me out, and I would just write code, and he would review it. And now it's been over a year that he's been working on it with me, and it's like we're a tandem. Like, I wrote code, he reviews it, and he finds all my spelling errors and stuff. So he and I just finished working on two things. One, a full GUI way to recolor events based on content type or taxonomy. So you can select what colors you want them to be, and it'll persist over all the calendars, and you'll have to set it up once. And it's pretty slick. And the other one was just a full way for other modules to provide plugins or new settings or override existing settings that are controlled. Like, if you ever look at it, you see there's like 35 different things you can change all in one page for Full Calendar. And that list is now completely controllable, and you can add to it from other modules. It really now makes it, as soon as the thing is stable, we're just going to turn out a couple you know, sides of add-on modules to, you know, theme it differently or make it display differently and examples of new settings.
So are those modules you're talking about like full calendar?
Full calendar mini block is like the ideal one everyone wants, you know, to show it's like almost like a date picker for the big calendar. That's the first thing I'm going to work on as soon as the module's finished completely. We have one bug left that I was just working on this morning, and hopefully by the time this podcast airs, it'll be fixed. But we're really close to releasing a stable version.
Cool.
And you mentioned to me earlier, or in the notes, that there is you had a really bad performance problem with it, right?
Yeah.
So thankfully, I spent a lot of time. I realized there was this huge slowdown on the side of date module because it's all on date module, and I added a caching to date module that speeds full calendar up about 18 times.
Wow.
It's absolutely like blazingly fast right now.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it when there were just a couple dozen or something events on there. But when I put 140 every month for a year, it was just having a problem loading that. And I had somebody try it on like Internet Explorer 8, and it just threw a script error and wouldn't even load for her. It just gave her a blank screen. And so, unfortunately for that, I had to go back to calendar module. But
should have filed an issue in the issue queue.
Well. Yeah.
Wow. The other thing that's my favorite part about full calendar is between Aspalicious is in Belgium and I'm in the East Coast, so we get to issues in the issue queue really quickly. One of us is always checking it. So we have a pretty good reputation for, you know, if you file a bug, we'll acknowledge it or fix it, you know, within like a day.
that's good.
So it's your fault for not filing an issue.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, the latest, that's how actually I got into date module, you know, and same with views. Full calendar kept exposing all these bugs or oddities or weirdness in views because it integrates so heavily. So I got a bunch of commits into views, and then I've added a bunch of stuff into date to the point where Karen just made me a co-maintainer.
Oh.
So now I have commit access to date module and calendar module, strangely enough. You know, I don't actually want to work on calendar module, but I have access if I need to.
Or if you ever feel devious, you can put something in so start coming over to full calendar instead.
I would never do that. The user experience should drive the conversion, not, you know, devious redirects.
Of course.
Can you give us an example use case for the full calendar module?
With full calendar, I think there's a couple good sites out there that launched with it, and it really changed. It replaces the need for any sort of use of embedding of Google Calendar. You know, I mean, calendar module looks pretty terrible, and it doesn't look really like a calendar. It's just kind of like a listing in a grid. This, you know, full calendar displaying the events spatially, out how long they are, et cetera, you know, that really, I've seen sites that had calendar module installed and an embedded Google Calendar next to it. And it kind of removes the entire need for that. And it also raises where you can drag and drop the events around to update them. So I used it at the radio station to prepare the next term radio schedule. So you could just drag the DJ time slots around. And it would save all the nodes for you, and you'd never have to go to node/3/edit ever again.
Right.
So it made the job for the DJ, the program director at the radio station, really easy. There's a couple new things that we want to add later, like being able to click on the calendar and drag to create an event of a given time length. And I demoed that. I've done the session about full calendar at a couple different camps, and I demoed it in bad camp, but it was actually just a hack. There's a bunch of things, you know, it might end up having to be like a multi-step form because you need to know what node type it is, or if it's a node at all, you know, you'd have to fill in all the required fields and all that stuff. It's not just that easy. You know, hopefully someone will come along and write something really cool for it.
Yeah, but you can right now adjust the length of an event that's already created right. by clicking and dragging, right?
Right. You can drag events yeah. around. You can drag the length of the event, as you said. Yeah. Which is a big plus. And there's color yeah. box, when, you know, those light box pop up mm-hmm. things, integration with that. So you click on one and it can pop up in a little window with the metadata and stuff. It's right. pretty great. The other module I wanted to talk about real quick was field collection.
Okay.
The field collection module, I didn't write it, but it's kind of, if you, in Drupal 6 CCK 3, there was this new feature called multi-group. And it was, you know, field groups have been around for a while, but multi-group was that you could have multiple sets of multiple rows of data. That sounds mm-hmm. confusing. The best example is if you have a content type called playlist and you have a field called track, but your track has both artist and title and album and label and genre and year number. Mm-hmm. You'd want to have all those track information on the track field, which is part of a playlist, and have multiple tracks. And you would do that with field collection now in Drupal 7.
Okay.
And so each track actually is a field on the playlist, but it's also an entity itself. And all mm-hmm. artist, album, title are all fields on the track.
Okay.
And the field group module still exists, and it has separate use cases for that. But if you ever feel the need that you need like multiple sets of the same field group over and over again, what you really want is field collection. And it's pretty, it's getting some, its name out there, but not as many people know about it. So, you know, I figured I'd use this to help promote it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just checking out the project page for it.
Yeah. That could probably use some work.
it's a little sparse, but
some, you know, pictures or better description, but It's going well. A bunch of big contributors have been using it and filing bugs, which is always great.
Yeah.
Because it always takes, you know, someone using it in a bizarre way for us to really find out bugs.
Right. What's the field collection table module? Are you
right? So
aren't you involved with that?
The field collection table module is one that I wrote that by default, field collection just lists out all of the subfields, right? Uh-huh. But with the playlist example I used, you'd want that to be in a table. So all the module does is provide a widget and formatter to be able to edit it and view it as a table.
Okay.
And instead of making it part of that module, it was split off to show that, to make sure that you were able to do things like that, you know, provide new formatters and widgets to display, you know, the field collection in different ways. And it kind of helps us make sure that we don't break, you know, other people's code. If there's if there's another separate module using all these functions, then you can't go changing them. So it's helped with that. But yeah, field collection table, field collection itself. There's one field collection views that I've not actually used that is supposed to provide like views. I think it was written before we finished the views integration, but there's been a couple modules springing up around it that are pretty great.
Yeah, it looks like I was looking at Field Slideshow.
Field Slideshow, I think, has integration with Field Collection now. I mean, any module, Field Collection is actually really great in a way that if your module claims it uses fields properly and then it doesn't work with Field Collection, then you did something wrong and you hard-coded some assumption somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks things all the time. It broke date module. It broke full calendar several times. And, it was all assumptions that people made that was like that were false.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the great equalizer of a module. You know, if your module doesn't work out of the box with it, you did it wrong.
Huh. I'm checking all these out now.
Yeah, there's some stuff. I think the other, let's see, other modules. No, I mean, I've been co-maintaining features and. Mostly when I was working on that one D6 project, keeping the D6 branch up to date with the D7 branch. But we've been working on a couple new things, some new cool Drush integration. If anyone you haven't mentioned Drush on your podcast yet, I guess.
No, I haven't.
Quick promo, Drush is the best thing ever. Mm-hmm. Google it, go download it. I didn't find out about it until I went to my first Drupal camp. and everyone kept talking about it, and I had no idea what was going on. And I went home and realized I'd wasted a year and a half of my life not.
Yeah.
It's really great.
I actually, I'm ashamed to say this, but I just started using it like last month, and
yeah.
Now I can't, I don't understand why I didn't use it sooner, because things are so much easier with Drush.
Right. Well, it's like, I spend a lot of time on IRC giving support, and the answer is always, oh, well, Drush something, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, what's right. Drush? I was like, okay, back up. Step zero, go get it, then come back.
Yeah.
It's been great. Anyway, so with features, there's a bunch of new Drush commands coming up that are going to make it really easy to, you know, make it less painful. Because features is really never anyone's favorite part of working Drupal mm-hmm. site, but it still is relatively useful in a lot of cases. So trying to make it as painless as possible.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't really used features at all.
Well, if you're working on a team, or if you're working on like a big, you know, dev staging prod setup, then it's really useful. If you're working by yourself, I use it now in my personal projects as just like a safety net for myself. It basically just puts configuration into code. I've used Git for everything now. So every time I click around in the interface, I don't want to lose that somehow. So I want to put it in code somehow. So I use features.
Hmm. So let me ask. So do you like put it into code in your development site and then use Git to merge that code to your live site, or?
Basically. Yeah. I mean, I make changes locally. I run this Drush command that grabs it all, puts it into the feature, and then I check it into version control and push it up. And then, you know, you try not to make any changes to the live site, but live in the sense that it's like the shared site among the developers. Most of the sites I work on aren't actually launched yet. I always work on them beforehand. But even then, when you have three or four developers working on it, you want to be able to not conflict with each other. Mm-hmm. So you do everything locally, you put it in the code, and then you push it up. And it's a really good workflow.
Hmm.
It works. You know, everyone has their own solution, and no one has the perfect solution.
I guess the things I've heard bad about features is that it's difficult to change. Like, once it's been put into a feature, how do you get it out of the feature if you want to make changes to your settings?
Right. I mean, most of them. Now, the problem with that is not if you want to continue using features. If you ever want to stop using features, you pretty much can. Like, once you start down that path, you have to finish it for that project. And if you design your features poorly and you try to combine them later, that's pain. That is a lot.
Okay.
So you have to make a lot. You have to do a lot of good planning in advance. That's the big trick with features. But no one really. And there's a couple. There's a thing called Kit, K-I-T, and it's not. It's a got a project page on Drupal, but it's not actually a module. I think it's just like a specification about how to use features properly. Properly meaning how these people decided they were going to use it. But I don't think it actually, yeah, it's kind of been abandoned lately. I think everyone just jumps into features and figures it out and really messes it up the first couple times.
Right.
Which is where all the pain comes from and where everyone gets frustrated with it. I think the last thing I really wanted to mention was, as I said, I didn't know about Drush until I went to my first Drupal camp. If you live in a city or are close to a city that has meetups or camps, go to them. I didn't start going to the meetups that they have in Philly until for at least a year and a half into when I started working with Drupal. And I learned so much so quickly that I don't know how I even got around before. Same thing, if you have any time to get on IRC, you just sitting there and leaving it open and reading through later, you'll learn a lot. You'll read something, and then 3 weeks later, you'll need to know it, and you can go back and look it up.
Hmm.
So as much interaction with other Drupal developers or users as you can, you'll learn a lot.
Yeah, as we record this, I'm about to go to the very first ever Wichita Drupal meetup on Thursday. And so it's really exciting because I haven't been to anything. Like, I'm going to be at my first DrupalCon in Denver, our first Drupal meetup on Thursday. It's like, I'm just finally finding other Drupal people to hang out with. And
yeah,
I'm really excited.
That's actually, I mean, it's, I found out about ZipTech hosts all of the Philadelphia meetups. We have one tomorrow, not that this will air in time, but they're great. And that's how I kind of found out about the company. because you know they do a lot. They're really active in the Philly community. But congrats! I hope it goes well. It'll be great, no matter how many people show up. If there's more than one, you'll have a good time.
Yeah, I know there's at least one other guy, and I think he said he's got three or four other that are coming with him. So
that's great.
Yeah. All right, Tim. Well, while we wrap up now, there are two questions I ask every guest, and the first is, what are you most excited about that's up and coming?
I'm excited to go to DrupalCon Denver and to see what exactly actually happens in Drupal 8. There's been a lot of talk about what the plans are and what the community plans are and what people's private plans are, and I feel like everything's going to come out in the open at DrupalCon. Hopefully this one, not in Munich, because I don't know if I'm going to be there. But, yeah. You know, kind of see, I think Drupal 8 kind of started in Chicago officially, and I think it'll actually start to become a real vision of what Drupal 8 will be in Denver. So that's what I'm most excited about.
And where can people find out more about you and your projects?
You can find my Twitter handle is tmplunkett, P-L-U-N-K-E-T-T, or on IRC or Drupal.org. If you have a question about my modules, just open an issue in the issue queue. Or if you're on IRC, you can find me in almost all of the channels all of the time. And I welcome any questions or follow-ups with that.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on, Tim.
Thank you.
If you'd like more information about Tim or any of the modules that we talked about, head on over to modulesunraveled.com/podcast/008. And you'll find the show notes for this episode with links to the things we talked about. If there's someone you'd like to hear me talk with, or if you'd like to be on the show, go to modulesunraveled.com/contact and let me know, or send me a message on Twitter at modsunraveled and let me know there. Finally, if you've listened to episode 2 where I talk with Jeff Linwood about building mobile apps using Drupal and PhoneGap, we've decided to put together a live webinar where you'll be able to watch him build an app using Drupal and PhoneGap and ask questions along the way. Now, neither of us have done this before, so we don't have a lot of information yet. But if you'd be interested in that, go to modulesunraveled.com/podcast/PhoneGap webinar, and you'll be taken to a page where you can sign up to get more information about that when it becomes available. That's all for now. Thanks for listening. Are you still here? Oh, you must really like Drupal. Well, just for that, here's a bonus couple of minutes for you where Tim turns the tables and asks me how I got started with Drupal.
But are you a developer, or are you just mostly a site builder? Or
no, yeah, site builder. Like, I have very little development background. In fact, all of the HTML and CSS I know I learned from W3Schools.com. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
you've been to W3Fools, right? Or C3Fools.
Uh-uh. No, like, what's that?
It's this whole thing about how W3Schools is awful and the worst website.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's great.
W3Fools.com.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's tons of terrible information on that site.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, a lot of it's just, some of it's just wrong. Like, there are good, there's some examples on here. They're just wrong.
Hmm.
Anyway, no, I mean, I didn't mention that during the actual recorded part, but I didn't actually finish it, my computer science degree. I dropped out to do Drupal. But, I mean, I had a basic programming background, so.
Yeah.
It helps.
Unfortunately, I didn't. I ended up getting a degree in music education, so that's what I'm doing now. I actually teach music,
right.
But I'm trying to get out of that. When I was growing up, I should stop looking at this site because it's distracting me. When I was in high school, I did both computers and music, and then I ended up getting a scholarship to a boarding school in Michigan for music.
Wow!
And so I just went there for my senior year of high school, and they didn't even have a computer lab or anything there. So.
Wow.
And then in college I was doing music, but then there was a
was called Cradle. It was Center for Research in Arts, Technology, Education, and Learning. So it was like trying to combine the arts and technology.
Right.
And basically I just like jumped in and got involved with that. I don't even know how, but yeah. All of a sudden I was involved and they needed a website. And the guy who's doing it was all open source. And so he said, here's Drupal. And I said, okay.
That's awesome.
And so did that for a year or so. And that was, I think I started on Drupal 5, but it was like Drupal 6 came out in the middle of it or something. Or,
right.
I don't know, but it was like right there on the cusp. And then, but then I left and graduated and I was gone for a couple of years. And then just, like fall of 2010, just over a year ago, I don't even know why, but I started using Drupal again, I don't even know how I got started, to be honest. And then I built a site for my dad and I built a site for my school district and I don't know, just kind of started using it